Well, good morning. Good morning. We are going to continue. Man, we went down in numbers this week, didn't we? Last week we were full, and everybody's sleeping in today. I don't know. Anyhow, of course we got some extra guys up here. Good. Well, you weren't here last week.
Yeah, I was.
Oh. I didn't see you. Well, let's. Has everybody got a handout? There's no more handouts. Did we? Well, okay. Let's. Been in Philippians, and it's what we're going to continue. We started last week with talking about this. This other part about building below the baseline. And what are we talking about? This aspect? Huh?
The inner.
Yes, no, right. But this lesson. About humility. Thank you. Wow. All right. Humility. So, one of the desires of every growing Christian. Okay, now, I'm not going to say this should be a desire. I'm saying this is the desire of every growing Christian is to be more like Christ. Okay, if you're a growing Christian, your desire is to be like Christ. That's really what it is. So, I just don't know if I want to do that. Well, then, can you be saved and not want to be like Christ? Yes, somewhat. Brother Bob, can we just bring it down just a little bit? I don't know if it's loud for y'all, but it's loud for me. Y'all okay back there? Okay. I am right in the way of the speaker. So there's two things. If we are perfect, if we want to be, if we are growing in Christ, I mean, we're growing in our relationship with the Lord. We want to be more like Him. We want to be more like Christ. And so this is first where we begin with that. And part of what we found here in Philippians chapter 2, that having the mind of Christ and having that mindset of Christ is, if all things, I guess I would say, primarily humility. Primarily in that area of humility. But if you want, you can go back there with them. You good? All right. You're good if you want to stay here. You want to be with the men. You are a man. Okay, good. So that mind of Christ, that's humility. No, I don't know if that's humility. Okay, anyway. So this is the mind of Christ, though, is humility. And if there's anybody that ever didn't need humility, it'd be Christ, right? But he did what? He humbled himself. That's it. He humbled himself. And remember, I talked about this. If we humble ourselves, it's humility. If someone else humbles us, it's humiliation, right? So which one do you want, right? We obviously, the thing is. So we talked about last week, number one, the seek a walk of unity. Unity is a big part. Humility will cause us to have some, will cause us to recognize that God, I want to say this, God is not as interested in assigning blame as He is in solving the problem. So the thing about unity is we don't just have unity, right? We're not just together on this thing. We don't just always agree with each other. Do you ever always agree with the people you work with? You're like, I work alone. Exactly. I'll say often, I don't know. I don't always agree with myself. Sometimes and somebody will say to me, yeah, but you said, I said, well, I've changed my mind. Right? I mean, or you said, I've been very firm on in my life. And then down the road, I realized I was firmly wrong. And so I've had to change my position based on what I realized my position was based on thinking, not scripture. And so unity is something we have to constantly, and I'm kind of being a little facetious with ourselves, but that is true. There's something we have to work on. We have to find, like, when there's a fault, there's a problem. It's not as important of whose fault it was. Now, sometimes we do need to get to that source to hash out a problem. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We need to find out. Sometimes we need to deal with it so we, like, if you're talking about work or something, that we don't repeat that again. Oh, things just happen. No, things happen because you were unsafe or, you know, something like this. You know, you didn't put your harness on top of the tower, you know, or something like that, and you're dead now, right? That's how that would go. But there's some things like that. But what we're talking about, well, you know, you should have, well, you were supposed to remind me. Yeah, but you were supposed to, you know, this kind of thing. Wait a minute. I don't think the Lord is as concerned with placing blame as he is with resolving the problem, so we can move forward with that. So I don't know if we got this blank last week, but A under that, it is based on our, did I give you that one? Fellowship. Fellowship in Christ. Let's start there this morning. Philippians 2, 1. Somebody want to read that one? Go ahead.
If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy.
Okay, if that's going to be there. Since it's there. So, as Paul begins his plea for humility in the church at Philippi, he reminds his readers of what they have already experienced in Christ. Okay? He's reminding them of what they already have, what they've already received from Christ, what's already come. It's these four attributes that we're talking about here, always available to us in Christ, that should compel us to give the same to others. Now, here's what he's saying. Since, not when it says there, if there be, really, in our English, what we would think of, since there is, okay? You say, well, why does it say it that way? Well, because English grammar hasn't always been the same, okay? And so the concept here is since there is, or if there is, and anyway, let me just go on. That's the meaning of it. So what we get here is this, since Christ has given this to you, right? You should then, what? Be willing to, well, give that to others. Yeah, do that unto others is the thing. We've received it, right? We should also give it back. And this is really the concept. It's, it's strange sometimes, but sometimes you would think the person that has been the greatest receiver of forgiveness would be the greatest forgiver, right? Man, I've been forgiven so much, I'm going to forgive other people. But we read the story in the Bible there of the one that was forgiven all this, and he was fully forgiven, cleansed, that he went and had the fellow that owed him, you know, a little bit. He's like, no, you go to the prison and work it off until you get my money. You're like, wow, what happened? And that didn't work out well for that fellow. Right? So what we want to see is it's because what I'm saying about that then is this, it's not natural, is it? It's not natural just because we, so he's reminding us, because we've received this, we should also give the same to others. Now, first of all, it's consolation. Consolation. He says this, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. The word consolation, anybody know what the word consolation? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Anybody willing to define that word? Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it?
Something you can get out of something.
Okay. Okay. This is a hard word. Yeah, you're in the right area. This is a hard, some words are like, I kind of know what it means, but to like, put other words with it. There's really three things. It speaks of three things. And you're right, it is what we give to somebody. We're going to talk about this. It's three things. Encouragement. Write these down if you want to write them on your hand. Three things. The word consolation speaks of encouragement, comfort, and refreshment. Okay, this kind of gives the idea of what this consolation means. The word used here, though, is also tied to the Holy Spirit's work of... What is the Holy Spirit's another name for Him? He is our... The Comforter, right? The Comforter, it's this the same word of consolation. In John, somebody read there, John 15, 26. Okay, so we have been, again, the same thinking. We've been encouraged in Christ. We who have been encouraged in Christ then ought to have that same spirit to encourage others. Right? Now, here's my question for you this morning. How do you, or how can you, encourage, comfort, and refresh others? Talk to me about that. How can you encourage, comfort, and refresh others? Okay, show an interest in them. Good. That's encouraging. Right? Hey, how are you doing today? Did you sleep well last night? No? Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that. Hope, you know, is there anything I can do to help you with that? No? Okay. You know, a little interest. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, okay, good. Right? That's not quite as encouraging, is it? Right? So... Very good. Take interest in them. What else?
Tell them about the gospel, how God loves them.
Okay, sharing the gospel with them. Okay, good.
Well, compliment.
Complimenting.
Doing a good job. Or...
Yes. I don't know if I probably told you about this. You meant about this before, but I started something as a joke when I was. I was a supply guy and in the Air Force, and I'd walk through all the back shops, all the repair shops that did different. I would get the broken parts, and I would take them to the back shops, and they'd repair them, and I'd go through, and I dealt with all these people, and I'd go by, and I'd just go to each little shop. I'd go in, and I'm like, hey, y'all are doing a great job. I have no clue what they're doing. They're doing stuff. Like, hey, y'all doing a great job. Keep up the good work. I'm just an outgoing guy, and I would just say stuff to be stupid, you know, just to be. And as I did, and I would have people look at me and say, well, thanks a lot, I appreciate that. And, I mean, thankfully, because my nature would have been to be like, I'm just kidding, you know. I mean, but no, when I seen that, because I was just messing with them, they didn't get my joke. But it wasn't really a joke. It was just, instead of saying, hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, y'all doing a great job. Keep up good work. But somebody... must have needed that, and I realized that was really an encouragement to people. So I did it all the more. Y'all doing a good job. And then, but then it became less of a joke and more, hey, y'all doing a good job. They were doing something. And so, but yeah, it's a great thing, and, you know, complimenting people.
It's a morale
boost. Sure it is. You know? Yeah.
I mean, if you got people under you, you know, you want to look at your
doing. Right, right. What about in this thing of comfort? How would we comfort one another?
Reassurance.
Reassurance? Okay. Define that. What do you mean by that?
Well, reassurance is, you know, somebody, let's say somebody did something and it was contrary to what everybody else
Yeah.
you know, thought. And you don't know. I'm pretty sure that was the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we reassure somebody if we're sure what they did was right. Don't reassure somebody in something wrong. But yeah, you're right. Encourage, comfort them and like, hey, no, it was the right thing.
Well, like John was saying, you know, showing interest. Well, so if you get to know someone,
yeah,
then you care about their feelings. You know, if they got something going on during the day,
yeah,
you can tell.
Yeah, you're jumping ahead of me.
Work with the person long enough.
Good, good. I like it. You're jumping ahead. We're going to get there. Because that's the key. We're going to get to that. I have written down here, is this men, young men, we have to purpose to do this. We have to this comforting one another. You know, if I come up and I'm like, "Hey, Brother Eddie, you know, you're doing great, buddy. Feels a little awkward, doesn't it? Feels a little like, what is he doing? Okay, men, we're not good with this, right? Can I say this? Amen. Amen. Our comforting ought not to be lovey-dovey, soft. You know, we don't need any more of that in our society. Okay? So what we can tend to do is move away. No, I'm fine. You know, we could tend to kind of have a little more of a macho thing. I'd rather macho thing than the sissified thing. Okay, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But this is something that we need. We need to, this consolation. And by the way, that we don't get. And I think something we're talking about, this comfort is by reassuring somebody. Hey, listen, I know sometimes, by the way, sometimes we are going to get into a place that we need somebody to come put their arm around us. And that's nothing wrong with that. There's going to be times that some guys are criers. Nothing wrong with that if you're a crier. Some aren't. Nothing wrong with that either. You ever felt like, man, I don't cry much. I should cry more. You ever feel like that? I kind of do sometimes. I'm not a crier in my preaching, and I'm not. And I see other. Some of the greatest preacher friends of mine that this impacted me, though, they cry in every service they preach, two or three times. And I mean, one of the preachers that had the most impact on me, probably in my life in ministry. I mean, tears coming down his face almost every message, and I'm just like, man. But that's not the way God didn't wire me that way. I mean, I'm not saying I don't ever get choked. Sometimes I do, and sometimes but when I do, it's something that something's going on in my life. God's dealing with me on something, and it's okay to let that go out. Not get back in there, tear. You know, like I'm not trying to fight that thing. So I'm not talking about that. But this thing, I'm saying, men, we need to do this. We need to encourage. We need to comfort. We need to be involved in this thing of the refreshment. Refreshment. We didn't talk about that one. How can we refresh someone? That area of consolation or refreshment. What would that kind of give you the idea of? Giving them a water. No, you're on the right. Yes, good. On the right, that is a refreshment. But thinking about that, what is giving them some water? What is that? If you're thinking about giving somebody, what does that do? Yeah, refresh it. No, it refresh gets them back to the place of being refreshed, being kind of a little bit of a restart, right? These things of this encouragement, comfort is like, you know what? Okay, I did do the right thing. You ever made a really hard decision? A really hard decision for the Lord. And as soon as you did it, trouble comes at you. Maybe from the people you were making the decision to help, the trouble comes from them. And you're like, did I make the right decision? You ever been there? We all have. Amen. If you've made any right decisions. And sometimes coming beside somebody say, just as you're saying, no, that was the right thing. That was the right thing. Not based on, I think it's good. No, based on the Word of God, that is the right thing. That was the right answer. That's refreshing. Okay, you know how we refresh each other? By spending time together. We're going to get to that in a minute. Hopefully we get there. I don't drag it too long. Okay, second thing, love. Okay, if there be any comfort of love. Okay, the word comfort here means made for the purpose of calming and consoling. Okay, so we talk about comfort up there, but it's a little bit here in the scripture. It kind of has a little bit this purpose of calming and consoling. We're to offer others the comfort of love that only comes from Christ's love manifested in us. Okay, not a normal kind of love. Men, don't be doing that kind of love. Anyway, it's the kind of love that comes from Christ. It's kind of love that cares beyond. Cares beyond what's in us. It's really in this kind of sense. It's the word is the kind of love we're talking about is the word. Anybody know the Greek word? It's a kind of common one. No, agape, right? We've all heard that. which agape love is one, it's really considered this self-sacrificing love. So the way Christ gave us self-sacrificing love is the kind of love the Holy Spirit now produces in us. Okay, here's what it is. This kind of love that we're talking about one to another, it's the kind of love that it is to surrender. This is what I'm saying. Don't miss this part, because this is a huge part. It's to surrender or sacrifice our time, our will, our way, our desires for someone else. It's to give up my time. Hey, I was planning on going golfing, but I'm going to come help you, you know, fix your roof or paint your house or sit with you while you're, you know, mourning over something that's going on in your life. Right? It's not always labor. Sometimes just come spend some time. Hey, I was going to go do this, but you know what? Let's go have lunch. Yes, sir. Well, maybe they're hurt and they don't want to golf. And maybe they think golf is stupid. Okay, so there's different things. This thing, but here's the point I want to get to with this, though, is this thing of this kind of love is it's a sacrifice, man. Here's what I'm talking about. I want to talk about this in this way in the context, is this unity in the church is more than, now, who would do this for their families? All of us, right? That's what we do, right? You do that for your family. But we're talking about more than this. This isn't about agape love for your family, for your wife, your kids, your parents, your children. That's part of what we do. We don't even have to, you know, what kind of guy doesn't do this for his family, right? Even in the world, he'd be considered a jerk. Yeah. Well, he'd be just considered a jerk. If somebody doesn't take care of their family, even the world thinks the problem's with. We're not talking about that. That's what everyone does. We're talking about this self-sacrificing unity in the church. Particularly what I want to say, men for other men. You know, I'm not talking about we need to go dancing around with a kumbaya type of thing. I'm not talking about that. Right? I'm talking about there ought to be something that we invest in someone else on purpose for them, sacrificing some of my time, some of my effort, maybe some of my hours that I could have been getting paid for. I'm going to go spend time with somebody that's going to cost me. Right? It's a little different deal. This is what this is talking about. Galatians 5:22. Somebody read that one.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
So this is a love. This is the fruit of this. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Let's don't veer away from this thing. It's very important, and it's really this because Christ has done this for us. It ought to be who we are. And then the third thing, fellowship of the Spirit. If there be any fellowship of the Spirit, so fellowship here means communion, right? This thing of communion. It talks about another word, intimacy, not that other kind, but closeness is what we're talking about. This is the type of relationship we ought to endeavor to have with God, a closeness, an intimate. When we talk about intimate, we're talking about personal. We're talking about getting to know somebody, and particularly in this sense, God, not just a head knowledge, right? But an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. I don't just know about God. I know things about Him. And how am I going to know things about Him? By the way, I'm going to have to get into His Word and be a part of this, but also I'm going to have to live it out and get to know and understand it. And so it's really getting close to it. So we who know the Lord in this way ought to have the same spirit towards one another. A true desire for open communication and relational fellowships. Okay, we ought to have that desire to be around the brethren. Y'all hear what I'm saying? No. Let me say it this way. If we don't have that desire to be around the brethren and to give to them what God has given us, Something's wrong in our spiritual life. Can we understand that? If I don't want to be around them and spend time with them, something's wrong. Maybe what it would indicate is I'm not a growing, maturing Christian. I'm stunted. So it's not I'm not doing this, so I'm not there. I'm talking about the desire even. We're not good at everything we do, right? And some of the stuff we're talking about here, this is not natural. The natural man doesn't grab a hold of these things. This isn't something that it just becomes natural for us to do. This is something that we have to actually have a desire to do, and it becomes something we give true effort to. And so if we don't have a desire, by the way, we may try to do this stuff and not be very good at it, right? But if we don't even have a desire for it, you ever see the person that you can tell they want fellowship, but they're so awkward, they're just kind of, they kind of just stumble, but you can see that they want to be, they're wanting to try. Man, I love that. I so prefer that to somebody that sits over here and just kind of like, can we go now? Can I leave now? It's like something's, the person that's awkward and tries and is kind of a little bit miserable with it, or not miserable, but not great at it, is so much, there's a desire. There's something, I know this is something I need to do. I'm not good at it. Hey, there's a great start. Listen, here's what I want to say. If we're going to get this thing, we have to make occasions for this to happen. Fellowship doesn't just happen. So what I mean by that is, again, we're talking about with the brethren. This is to, families already do this. This isn't what he's dealing with. Peter isn't dealing with this about within your own family right here. He's talking about other people in the church, this unity of the faith that needs to be happening here. So we have to make this happen. We have to find occasions to make this happen. It will not happen on its own. Or the only people it'll happen with is your best friend. Yeah, I fellowship with my best friend every day. Okay, he's your coworker. Okay, you're not fellowshipping, you're working together. Maybe while you're working together, you're fellowshipping. That's great. That's great. But probably there's other people that need you to invest in them as well. Probably that person that's going to take a little effort is the one that probably needs it. Here's the thing that I know about people. Can I say this to you without, and I want you to understand what I'm going to say here. I don't like hanging out with everybody. Or let me say it another way. There's some people that I really don't like hanging out with. There's just some people. Our conversations are awkward. We have different interests. The things they talk about. Usually the kind of people that I really don't like to be around, all they want to talk about is themselves. By the way, I really don't like? I don't mind somebody talking about what they're interested in because they're interested. I want to talk about it. Matter of fact, I like to learn from them. But if all they want to do is kind of like give a stream of consciousness about that, and you're like, you can't even get a word in because I'm a curious guy. I am. If you start talking about what you do, and I'll say, so, how does that, I want to jump in there and like, let's get some interaction with it. Because that's the worst, the most wearisome kind of person for me to deal with is a person that talks as much as I do. Because I want to share thoughts. I want them to talk and I want to talk and we go back and forth, responsive kind of, we call this, a dialogue too, right? Not a monologue. And so those people, other people, I know some people, more introverted people, they're like, no, I prefer somebody leading all the conversation. Some people are like that. Sometimes when I'll do this, I'm like, in my mind, maybe it's just the Spirit of God. Maybe it's that inner man just says, you've talked a long time. You need to let them have a chance to say something. I'm like, and I'll say something. You know what I mean? And if they're like, they don't say anything, okay, I'm back in. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? There's some people I don't like. It's some people I do like to spend time with, right? But the people that I really don't want to spend time with, You know what I've learned about those people? Often nobody else does either. And often they're the ones that need it the most. So you know what I have to do? You know what I have to do? I have to go ahead and sacrifice and surrender my will to give to somebody. Do you think I'm the guy Jesus wants to say, I want to just go spend time with Tim Hewitt? He's such an awesome guy. No. But he did that for me. And so I ought to be willing to do that for others as well. And so, listen. So when I'm saying we have to make occasions for this to happen, here's what I'm saying to you, man. And I want you to listen. I want you to grab a hold of this. Get lunch. Do we all eat lunch? Every day, mostly, right? You're like, well, you know, my schedule's weird. Get coffee. I don't like coffee. You know, they got tea. They even got soda, water, juice, whatever. Do you drink stuff? Yeah. Get breakfast. Find time to spend with one another. Brother, I told you jumped ahead of me, but this is right where. Find time to spend with people. We've got to find that time to spend with people. And by the way, it doesn't need to always be an hour or 2 hours. You come and spend time with me, it's going to be a chunk of your day. That's just, if y'all come set in my office, you know, it's going to be some time. That's just the way it is. But a lot of you, man, I don't get, so when I get you in there, we're talking, I want to get to know you something, and we're going to get to know each other. But maybe it could be a 15-minute conversation at the back of the church after service. The people that slip out of here and the last amen, and their first thought is getting from my pew, and it's not very far here, getting from my pew to that door, if their first thought is I've got to get out of here, they're going to miss this thing. They're going to miss giving, and they're going to miss getting. And I'm telling you, you know what you could miss? You could miss the refreshment, getting refreshed by somebody. But I want to say more than that, what you could miss is refreshing someone else, encouraging someone else. And man, I'm telling you, man, we've got to find time to do this. I really want to encourage you. Listen, I really want to encourage you to schedule times with each other. With each other. Not just with me, but with each other. Say, hey, let's get together. And by the way, don't always make it a burden. Don't make it a burden. Like, hey, you know, you got like 4 hours? Let's go. And so when we have work days, it's a great time. And I love work days. I love to see work days and guys are just over there chatting. We're not working, you know, full on labor for, you know, the whole time. Get chat. I've found some of the times out here is probably where I've got some of the most conversation with different guys. It's great. You work and we almost become like government workers and, you know, lean on shovels a little bit. You know, find that time. But you say, well, you know, different things. We all have different schedules. It makes it challenging. But we have time. We have to make time for this to give to others to do this thing. And so, and then the fourth thing with that is bowels and mercies. Like, I don't want anything to do with bowels, right? Okay. He says, if there be any bowels and mercies. The literal meaning of the word bowels is what? No, I'm not going to let y'all answer. It really just means this, the abdomen. That literal meaning is just this part of our body, the abdomen. And so we've, in our English vernacular today, bowels means waste, right? And so it's a little different thing. But it literally means the abdomen. Figuratively, in the scriptures, when it uses this word, it's a reference to deep emotions within a person. So when he talks about, you know, I yearned in my bowels, you're like, man, you had to go? No. It means in my deep emotion, in me. We'd say sometimes it's used interchangeably within my heart, right? And so that's what the phrase. So sometimes in our Bible, we have weird words that mean different things. So what we have to do is study to show ourselves approved. We've got to understand these words. We don't just say, well, it's too hard. Let's just get a different Bible. You know, we could do that. Let's go get a different Bible. You know what's going to happen in that new Bible? There's going to be other words that we don't understand. It's funny. I'll read commentaries sometimes, and they'll use other versions. And one, sometimes there's this one I use, And they use the NIV a lot. And it's so funny in there. And it says, a better way to say this would be this way. And it's what it says in the King James. And I find it funny. And then others that will use the King James. And a better way to say this would be this one. And or maybe not a better way, but a way to understand it. And so what it means is no matter what we change it to, we still got to figure it out the same. That's my point. No matter what it is, we got to figure it out. So let's just understand that. So bowels and mercy speaks of possessing strong, compassionate emotions. Men, you need to be in touch with your emotions. No, that's not the, no. Let go of that. This is, so what it's talking about, though, this thing he's talking about, this is more than a surface ability to not say something unkind to somebody. Okay? I did good. I didn't tell them to shut up like I wanted to. Well, okay, it's more than that. And it goes back to Brother Doug said this, and we're still on. See, I told you he was way ahead of me. It's really this. It's a genuine caring for someone else's needs. It's caring. Okay, and I have written down here, how do we develop a genuine care for someone? Spending time to know them. See what I say? We're there already. You see how it actually flows through this whole thing. How do we develop a genuine interest and care in somebody? We get to know them. And getting to know them is going to require us spending some of our, what? Time. What's that? But maybe not. Maybe I don't like them. No, I'm just being a little facetious. But maybe they're not going to be my friend. Maybe we're too different to be friends. I can still invest in them. You see? We don't have to, because when I think about a friend, I'm thinking about somebody that's like me, and we just like to spend time together. Right? Are brothers always friends? Yeah. These guys. But what I'm saying is there's some people we can, but investing in somebody, getting to know them. You know what I found? One of the things that helps me the most as a pastor. I get people to come in here that make stupid decisions. When I say stupid, not always sinful, just not good, not godly. They'll make decisions to put self before the Lord. They'll make stuff like this and do a lot of different things. A lot of people make great decisions too. Don't misunderstand. But when people make poor decisions with their life, but I know what's going on in their life because I've been able to get to know them and get to hear what they're saying, and you find out, you know what I can have? I can have compassion. Now, is it still a bad decision? Yeah, it doesn't change that, but at least there's an understanding that says, you know, when somebody says, well, I just had to do this. Well, you didn't, but I understand why you made that decision. So you know what it allows me to do? Give more grace. There's people in our church have, we don't always know it, but there's people in our church that are struggling with some things. And when I get to know some of those things, all of a sudden, you know, we did Wednesday night, that light bulb, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, that makes sense why there's this thing. So getting to know each other will give us a little grace, right? Unity behind that thing, it becomes something that's very helpful. But men, I want you to take this to heart. The Lord has given this to us. Let's try to find a way to do that. And maybe you're like, you know, Pastor, I know what you're saying, and I would agree with you. But I don't have any spare time, and all the spare time I have, I'm giving to my family. You ever felt like you're there? You know, when my kids were all small, and I would hear people talk about stuff like I'm talking about, I'm like, I'm swimming just trying to, you know, meet the needs of my family. Take other time. You know, maybe we're not at a place in our life to go and take a group of time out, away, in these kind. Maybe not there. But we can all spend five minutes of genuine interest in somebody. Maybe that's where we start, like before church, after church, maybe on the phone, maybe a text. You know, to say we don't have time for that is really to sell ourselves. It's really to say, I don't really want to do that. And so just something coming up and finding out something about somebody. Here's a challenge I try to give to new people at church, but I want to give it to you men. Find out something about somebody at church every service that you don't know. Something. It doesn't have to be deep, you know. Maybe what kind of food they like. You know, maybe where they work. You know, where they're from. Like, I know that about it. Well, then find out, you know, and then the more you get some of those things, then you find out about their family. Asking somebody something about their life is so much more encouraging. Right? And so I want to just take a second to say this. So, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to say that. When we get to know about people, it's refreshing. It's comforting. But it's going to take some effort. The unity. This is what he's talking about. This fellowship. It's part of what's going to make us, what the Lord's given to us. It's what's going to, it's really comes into this area of humility. I'm not the most important person. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you'd help us each, Lord, as an individual to really to invest in that which you purposed us for. And Lord, certainly whether we realize it or not, Lord, we each from time to time truly need to be encouraged, comforted, and refreshed. Lord, we need those things, Lord, even when we don't even realize it. And yet, Lord, your plan to give us that isn't through angels. It's not through something outside of us. Lord, you've chosen to use one another. And that's why you've brought us together as a church, as a body, that we might meet the needs one of another. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to, or let this dwell deep in our heart and look for the opportunities and occasions to make some changes in our life that we might be in this area. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for these men. I pray that you would bless, encourage, and guide. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name.